This is the Peru podcast with Micah and Christine. All right, Micah, so tell me about how you're feeling about the interaction between culture and healthcare here in Peru.
Hi, Christine. Hey, everyone. Yeah, it's really, really been a great experience. Today, we were just at a campaign, which, for everyone who doesn't know, campaign is kind of like a fair, a health fair that you go to, and there are patients who come from all different places. The team that we have here is full of like medical students, and we represent the rehab portion of the team. And today the campaign was at a women's jail. And so we went to the jail for women and saw a lot of patients who needed help with a variety of different things. But I think probably an underlying theme for me, something that I thought was interesting, is that the patients, I guess, weren't really expecting for us to prescribe exercise as a treatment for their injuries or the pain that they had. And and Christine, you were telling me earlier that the one lady was like, if you're prescribing me exercise, I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, she said, if you want to give me exercises, I don't want them. Yeah. So that was an interesting experience.
Yeah.
And there was also, I kind of felt like a lot of the patients who we worked with today not only didn't really want exercises or think that exercises would solve their problems, they also didn't really know which types of problems were handled within the scope of PT. So it's kind of interesting because we work with a lot of medical students and medical doctors, and they kind of just would come to us with a problem and talk to us about it, and we would say, well, this sounds like it's more of a problem for you to talk to about with the doctor, and they would be kind of surprised about that as well. So I thought that was interesting. What do you think was like your best tactic in terms of handling when the patients didn't really want to do exercises, or like in general didn't really know what physical therapy was?
Well, I think like in the best way I could, I would try to explain how important it was, and some didn't work every time, but you know, with my limited Spanish that we learn, I tried to explain the importance of exercise and how it strengthens muscles, which strengthens joints, which in turn can help with their pain. When that doesn't work, we run for somebody else who has better Spanish than we do, like we did today.
Despite the like obvious language barrier, I definitely felt that you could tell that the patients were very grateful to have us listening to their concerns and listening to their problems. And they were not hesitant at all to perform any of the tests we asked them for, like our physical exam or anything. So that was kind of surprising, because I, being more of like a modest culture, I expected a little more hesitation in terms of just asking them to like get in this position to test things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it seemed like everybody was really grateful. It just seemed like they were a little confused as to what we were there for, but if it was going to lead to them being in less pain, they were down to try it.
Yes. It was also really cool to see, not only the women who were in the jail line up for, like, the fair, but also, like, employees got in line and were, like, wanting to see us, too, for, like, back pain and different things. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're able to help.
Yeah, I would say one other place I've kind of noticed it, and I don't really know if it's like not so much knowing what the scope of physical therapy is, or if it's just that there isn't as much of a like interprofessional collaboration between different healthcare professionals. But sometimes even in our medical classes, we have generally like one medical class a day with a medical doctor or a medical student, and then our second medical class is with a physical therapist here, so he obviously knows a little more about what goes into it. But sometimes even in those classes, a lot of the medical doctors won't necessarily know how much I know about certain topics. So for instance, we were like talking about stroke at one point, and it was kind of hard because the teacher basically thought I either knew everything about stroke or I knew nothing about stroke. So it was kind of hard to explain that where in the timeline we typically see the patient and what sorts of things we are in within our scope. And the fact that, like, we don't see the patient right when they come into the emergency room doesn't mean I know nothing about stroke either. So I initially felt like that was kind of frustrating, but with my practicing Spanish, I mean, I've been able to kind of explain to them what physical therapists do, and I feel like they've been really, really open and really receptive. Yes. Definitely really welcoming about it, so.
They definitely have, yeah.
That's been an interesting experience.
Another cool thing, something that I noticed that's a difference in our culture is a lot of our patients have a very, like, soft-spoken way about them. Like, they'll speak very softly, and a lot of times I have to, like, actually lean forward to hear what they're saying or ask them to speak louder, and it's just a part of their culture. Like, it's offensive to speak really loudly, so they just speak very softly about everything, and it's like, okay, I can't hear whatever you're saying, but
especially because it's already in another language.
Yeah, exactly, and it's already in Spanish. So, but that is another little nugget that I learned about.
I think overall, in general, it's kind of reminded me how important the patient education portion of, like, what we do is, in the patient advocacy portion. And the advocacy for the profession in general, it's, like, really reminded me how important that is. Like, I feel like it's really easy in school to get caught up in, like, the manual therapy part of things, or, like, the exercise progression part of things, or, like, I need to remember this disease, I need to remember that, but, like, really remembering that it's, like, all about the patient. So, I mean, if you know all the knowledge, doesn't really matter if you can't explain it in a way that your patient's gonna understand it. I mean, obviously, the language barrier, like I said, have made it a little bit tougher. But even just, I mean, approaching situations where basically you need to think that your patient doesn't know anything about physical therapy. It's like, you need to be the one to educate them what you're there for, because even in the States that could happen. I mean, definitely certain patient populations may not know as much about physical therapy, and you can't just go in assuming, like, no, they know what we're going to do here. How do you feel like your course and our GLOW stuff kind of prepared you for this?
I think it was good preparation. Definitely was good preparation, especially like the exercises when I had to learn about myself. I feel like I can't remember the name of that exercise.
The like IEP plan.
Yes, the IES plan. So like, I've really, really leaned a lot on that assignment over here, because it's such a huge jump outside of my comfort zone to, like, be in a country that, you know, speaks a completely different language. Although, you know, there's a lot of people around us that speak English, like, to actually go out and try to have experiences, different kinds of experiences, it really is something that you actually have to, like, put effort into. And it can be frustrating at times, you know, trying to speak the different language, and when people get frustrated with you because you can't really understand their Spanish, so they just, like, try to speak to you in English, and then I'm thinking, no, I really want you to speak to me in Spanish, just speak a little slower. So, like, the IES plan, that's one of the things that before I came here, I knew was going to be challenging for me, but it's helped me to kind of get ahead of that and just be patient with myself, and also know that people are complex beings, and so it's okay. The interactions that we have are okay. Just take it in stride and stay positive and move on to the next experience.
Yeah, I feel like the IES plan helped me more than I initially thought. The one I chose to focus on was about, like, self-awareness and, like, knowing my strengths and weaknesses. And I feel like I think I mentioned it too when we were still in the States, but I feel like in the States, I generally am aware of my strengths and weaknesses, But coming here and especially having to talk to patients and try to explain things and in class only talking in Spanish, I definitely get frustrated a lot more easily. So being aware of like what makes me frustrated and being aware of like whenever I get frustrated, I need to just kind of like reset myself and not let it overwhelm me and just kind of think like, okay, take it slow. You can think in English, translate to Spanish. You can find other words or other ways to communicate what you're trying to communicate to your patients. So body language has been an extreme help here, or like Micah mentioned before, running across to grab somebody that speaks a little more Spanish when necessary, when I can't think of any other words to use. But overall, I feel like I've definitely learned a lot about how I handle stress and how to overcome stress in those situations where you can't just kind of like go in, have your own time for a bit. When you're at a campaign, it's like a line of patients, so you need to be able to like recollect yourself in the moment and think of other ways to explain things. So that's been very interesting.
So from these experiences, Christine, what do you think is something you would do differently or something that may have helped you?
I think like one thing that would be nice to introduce would be more of like a written intake form, so to speak. So generally at these campaigns that we do, the patients will go to triage and they'll talk to someone there, usually like a nurse or a medical student, get their vitals taken. And the medical students will write a general list about their current complaints and their really vague medical history before they move on to a table with the medical student and doctor there. So then they'll kind of get in a little more depth with their complaints. But once they came to us, if anybody complained of pain or anything like that, they came to us and they didn't even have their original form with their information on it. They had their form for any medications the doctor prescribed, but pretty much all of our history taking and all of our exam was done only orally. And personally for me, that's the hardest part of Spanish to understand, at least in this moment. So I think if we had had more of a specific form, even just a body diagram or something like that would have been beneficial, because especially since there's differences not only in the language but also in certain terminology, like for instance dolor de riñón, which means like pain in your kidneys, also means pain in your low back here. So just differences like that, having a diagram or having something written might have been easier to make sure we were being efficient with the time we were given, since we did have quite a bit of patience.
Yeah, you make a really good point. And even if it's not on like a part of the general intake form, like maybe we should have like a little body diagram at our station, and that way if for some reason we're not, you know, understanding or something, they can kind of point to it, and that gives us more of an idea. And maybe having like a little sheet nearby with some of the typical words that we use, you know, like the word for stretch or the word for burning pain, or you know, things like that might make it that are, you know, at your disposal for a quick access. I think that might be able to help in the future.
Yeah, I definitely think having something around where like certain words for like the descriptions of pain and stuff like that might be beneficial as well, because
yeah,
that was definitely tough during the campaign. Since we were out of prison, we couldn't bring in our cell phones, so like we weren't able to even like quick look up a word or anything like that.
That was a challenge.
Only from our memory. Mine's not fantastic with the Spanish quite yet. But.
Yeah, and even like we practice these, we might be able to practice these things in class, but like in the moment, like when you're there with the patient, there's a lot going on around you. It's kind of hard to think of that word just, you know, right off the top of your head. Might be helpful to have a little sheet nearby where you can just, like a little cheat sheet you can look at real quick.
And then to think of not only that word, but potentially that conjugation.
Yes,
also exactly. Very hard.
The conjugation too. And and then how it affects the patient at hand.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference in one simple letter, like an S, one simple letter can make the difference between like formally talking to a patient versus non-formally talking to a patient. So
yeah.
It's really hard to kind of have like three hats on at once. Like you're having your like student PT brain where you're trying to reason through like the reason they're actually there for you.
Yeah.
You're having your like professional hat on where you're trying to like make sure you're talking to the patient in a professional manner. But then you're also having your like, I need to translate between English and Spanish hat on. And that's definitely difficult.
Today with one of our patients, I was telling her about stretches to do, and I was like, oh, sí, es una estrella muy, muy importante y si necesitas hacer, you know, like telling her, this is an important stretch, you need to do it. And then it wasn't until afterwards, she was looking at me funny. Yeah, and I realized that estrella is star, and estiro is stretch. So all this time I was telling her, you need to do the star. This star is very important. Why aren't you appreciating this star?
And let me be honest, I think I said estrella the entire time. So.
And so it wasn't until, you know, afterwards that I realized that, yeah, I've been saying that wrong. So it's definitely something to learn from.
Yeah. Well, as we have this nice little music in the background from our laundry machine, this has been our podcast for Peru. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Stay tuned for the next one.
Bye.
Adios.